FrackletonGems.com.
Hungry for a delicious meal that'll leave your taste buds singing? Look no further than Frackleton's Fine Food and Spirits. Everything from mouth-watering burgers to succulent steaks, our menu was packed with flavor and satisfaction. Check out our extensive drink menu featuring handcrafted cocktails, local brews, and fine wines. By the way, now it's easier than ever to book your table early. Go to Frackleton's.com and choose your time of day and the table you want, and it'll be waiting for you when you get there. Frackleton's, Main Street, downtown Sheridan.
Hi, it's Good Luck Chuck Bagara here, VIP in the Carroll's Furniture First Northern Bank Pro Football Pick'em. Want to hear what happened this week on the Crow Morning Show? Have a listen.
Jacksonville's quarterback,
Trevor Lawrence.
He's got the best hair in the NFL.
Definitely.
Yeah,
I think he's sponsored by Head & Shoulders.
He is sponsored by Head & Shoulders. Yeah. You're totally right.
I wish
right.
Kittle would take some notes from him.
Yeah. Kittle. He's the, I don't do the conditioner. I just do the shampoo.
Just flow it back.
It's the organic stuff.
Yeah.
It's called grease. It's cool.
Yeah, that's a little closer. Yeah.
Gross.
Well, okay, now we got off on that tangent.
Yeah, I know. This can't just
nothing more organic than grease.
Who wouldn't want a $100 gift card to the Why Arno Bar and Grill? Andrew, the analyst from First Northern Bank here. You got to play if you want to win. Make your picks for your chance at the high score of the week. And tune in every Wednesday at 7:40 to see which VIP dominated.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Thursday, January 15th. From the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we're joined by Sheridan County Commission Chair Christy Haswell, Commissioner Holly Jennings, and from the Assessor's Office, Kim Lodovici.
Good morning.
Ah, I got that name right. See, that's good morning, with a good morning. I know I did good. I know I did well. Good morning. Welcome to the show, all. Now, one thing that we've been talking about quite frequently with the County Commission, property taxes, exemptions. We've really been trying to push these for a while. Kim, how long have you been with the Assessor's Office?
I've been with the Assessor's Office about 3 years.
What did you do beforehand?
I was over at the Treasurer's for about a year as
well. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, you just kind of like it up there. Is kind of money your thing?
I have a history in mortgages.
Okay.
So maybe.
Yeah. Might be something you like. Yeah. You like numbers.
Yeah. And I like real estate and I like people.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to being in the Assessor's Office, what are your primary duties in there?
We're basically data collection. That is our first and foremost duty. So we collect all the data in the county on the land. We manage the parcels. We provide the information for the mapping programs and then any buildings or structures that are on those lands and use of those lands. So our primary purpose is data collection. After that, we put all of the data into a system and we arrive at a market value on all of the properties in the county. And then whatever is legally in law or legislation provides is how the general public is taxed on those values.
Is it a long process or you guys got it down pretty well?
Well, we're certified, so we do have it down pretty well now. It takes some time to kind of settle into, you know, how it works and the data that you're collecting and how that affects everything. And we have a what's called a CAMA system. We put all the data in and it gets updated annually, cost tables and things like that from the state.
Yeah.
And so we do have help when it comes to that. It's not pen and paper.
Now, going off on more of like an opinion, how shocked were you a number of years ago when property taxes kind of jumped up to the top of the mountain?
Well, I'm a homeowner, so
yeah,
I'm very shocked, you know. But I think we've seen that all across the United States. I think all of our laws and all of our legislation wasn't based on sales prices being as high as it is and then the taxable amounts coming, you know, on those high values.
Yeah.
So legislation's trying to get it worked out down there and give some benefit to the taxpayers right now through the exemption programs.
When it comes to mortgages and land prices and things like that, how often do they shift in crazy ebbs and flows like this?
You do peaks and valleys. So nothing ever runs straight. But I had looked it up not too long ago, and like in 1960, the average home price was, I think, about 1.5 times of the average person's salary. Now an average home price, they're saying, is about 5 times the average person's salary.
Yeah.
And so those taxable values change drastically too. So where you were taxed at 1 or 1.5% of your annual salary, you're now being taxed at the 5% if you take it, you know, across the board like that.
And that doesn't sound like a lot, but that is a major hit.
It is. And you have working families, and, you know, we understand because, like I said, we have our homes and our families too. We understand the costs have gone up everywhere. You know, we're feeling it too. You have insurances that have gone up. Our home insurance has gone up. You own a home, you have insurance. Those have skyrocketed. Car insurances have skyrocketed. We're feeling it at every turn.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's not even get into health insurance. Holy cow.
No, it's almost a part-time job just to pay for health insurance.
Absolutely.
Annually.
Absolutely. Now, there has been some exemptions that have been made by the legislature to try and ease this burden on the taxpayers. We've talked about those at length, but I'm going to talk about them again. Can you explain what the statewide 25% homeowner property tax exemption is and who qualifies for that?
Absolutely. So that is for a homeowner that resides in their home 8 months or more a year. So if you are a homeowner and you reside in your home 8 months or more a year, you're going to qualify for the 25% homeowner exemption. That is pretty simply applied for. You can go to our website, and there is a form that you complete, and you attest that you live there 8 months out of the year, and then we will apply it that way. It is capped at $1 million. So if I have a $5 million property, I'm going to take $1 million, give you the 25% off the first million.
Okay.
And then you pay regular for the other $4 million.
Whew. I can only imagine having a property that costs that much money. Yeah. And how much the tax man would want for me on that. Now, how did the automatic application of the homeowner exemption work last year? You literally just got it automatically.
Right. So we went in and, again, our CAMA system, our big system that we have, we partnered with the state, and we were able to locate residential properties and apply a 25% homeowner exemption to them automatically in our system. So this year you have to sign up for it. So not all properties will get it. And then we will go in and do the overlay and adjust to the ones that have signed up.
Now, was it ever explained as to why it was automatic last year and this year we have to apply for it? Did anyone come to you with an explanation?
I think it had to do with timing with legislation. We didn't have enough time to be able to have the general public sign up last year and have it build in time per statute guidelines. So the first year they gave it to all residential with the hopes that we would prepare and have the application process down to be able to give enough time to bring in those homeowners. What we have seen is we have a lot of people who have not signed up. Our numbers are low compared to what we wanted.
Yeah.
And so we did have a February 2nd cutoff initially for this program. It has been extended now through March 1st. So statewide, it has been extended through March 1st for the 25% off homeowner exemption. And what we want to do is if you're a homeowner or you know a homeowner that lives in their property 8 months or more a year, have them call our office. That's really what we want. Call our office because there are a lot of people out there who still think they don't qualify for any sort of home exemption. They've heard a lot about the long term, which we can go into in a minute, but then they think, oh, I don't qualify. We need them to call so that we can look at what was applied last year, ask them a few questions, and place them into the appropriate exemptions moving forward.
Because, Kim, I think what doesn't apply this year are those rental properties that people might have owned that got the exemption automatically last year. So now it's just your primary residence.
Correct. And what I tell people, it's where you sleep at night.
Okay.
Where do you sleep at night? That's going to be where we're going to give that exemption. It's intended for where you sleep at night, your primary residence, to give people a break on their homes, not on their rental properties.
That's interesting. I was unaware about the rentals.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I guess I just didn't see in my research. No matter what property you owned, that was zoned residential, you got that exemption last year. This year, it's not going to be the case. I imagine a lot of people are kind of frowny face about that right now, and I would be too if I own rentals. Now, what exactly does a homeowner need to confirm that a property is their primary residence? I mean, how do I really prove that to you?
So in our system, because data is our first and primary responsibility, we know when the date of that property transferred. So if you were applying, I would know that you bought your property on a certain date based off that warranty deed that was filed in the clerk's office and when it came into your name. We also know what a mailing address is. So we can see if it's being mailed maybe to a different state. That might cause us to make a phone call and ask some additional questions. But primarily, it's pretty simple. The state has only issued online application, so there are no paper applications available for this. We can help you over the phone with it or do it for you. We have terminals set up at our front counter at the assessor's office to assist with that, and they can do it from home or your phone. And you just log in, you give your address. You'll say search for account. It'll bring up hopefully your name. You will click on it. You will fill out, I, Kim, the person, am applying for this 25% off exemption for this address for tax year 2026. And you click a box that says, I live here 8 months or more a year.
Okay. Now, one more time, what is the new deadline? Because this is a new deadline, right?
New deadline, brand new this week, March 1st. So March 1st, that computer link is going to shut off and people will not be able to apply.
Okay. What happens if a homeowner misses that? They're out?
They're out. We don't have the ability to override or give exceptions. It's ran by the state, facilitated through our office or each county's assessor's office.
All right. So you've been given another month, folks. March 1st, the old deadline, I believe, was February 2nd, wasn't it?
Correct.
So we've extended that due to what sounds like the lack of people participating this year.
Yes. So we want to encourage, if you know people, even some older people, please mention it to them. Have them call our office, because we know that we're missing quite a few homeowners that would qualify for this, and we don't want them to miss out on this. This is something at this point that people will need to register or apply for annually.
Okay, so this is only the first of many years that you're going to end up having to apply for this.
As legislation stands, correct.
As legislation stands right now, that's right. They're going to be meeting, and who knows?
Who knows?
Always the caveat.
There might be some changes coming down the pike. We're not totally sure yet. Now, can you explain the 50% long-term homeowner exemption? And who qualifies for that one?
So the 50% long-term homeowner exemption is designed for those homeowners who are 65 years of age or older and have paid property taxes in the state of Wyoming for 25 years or more. There's an application that is a paper application, and you can download it off of our website and complete it, or they're available at our counter. And you'll complete it and turn it in with your ID so we can validate your age. We're going to card people on that one. And then 50% would be applied to their residential property as well. Okay. And that is an annual thing. So if you signed up last year, it will not be automatic this year. There is a renewal form, which is a much simpler form than the original application. And those are available online or at our counter as well. And you just attest that nothing has changed since you submitted your formal application last year. And you give the address that you're residing in and that you wish to receive that exemption there.
One more time, what's the age on that?
65 years and older, paid property taxes in the state for 25 years or more.
All right, 65, the new 21, right? Everyone wanting to hit that number.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but it can be, you know, you paid here for 10 years and then there's a break and then you come back for another 15 years. Is that correct?
Correct. It does not need to be in the same property and it does not need to be in the same county. And it doesn't have to be continuous. So you could have owned a property in the 90s for 5 years. You could have come back and then bought a property in 2005 to current. That would qualify you.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds like an oil worker. Owning property, selling it off, and heading to another state, and then coming back. Now, what is the application deadline for that exemption?
So that exemption is the fourth Monday in May.
Fourth Monday in May.
So the thing to remember about that is if you submitted an application and received 50% off last year, it is not automatic for this year. We need you to come in and do the renewal form or call our office, please. We can process those over the phone.
Okay. You know, I think one thing that really gets folks is the different way that they're wanting these done. This one's got to be online. This one's got to be over paper. It's just odd to me that they wouldn't just make it, this form, then this form. And I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying, you know, when I was in the military, we had a different system for everything. So here you are, this little grunt, having to learn all these different computer systems just to make sure that you're getting everything done you need done. And so I can understand where people are kind of like, okay, which one's paper? Which one's online? How do I get that done?
What we really want to do is encourage everybody to contact our office.
Yeah,
because it's too much for the general public to try to understand what does and doesn't apply to them. And just call us. So give us your address. Let us see what we applied last year. We might ask you a few additional questions. And then we can make sure that you're getting the exemption for this next tax year in the timely manner.
Because I'm sure there's a ton of questions out there I should be asking, but I'm just not smart enough to kind of formulate these things and figure it out. I've never owned property, and literally kind of just for this reason. I don't want to deal with the taxes. So folks, head on down there. Get those questions answered. There is one more tax exemption that I am going to ask about. I know this one pretty well, though. How does the veteran property tax exemption work in the Cowboy State?
So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to decide if you're a 50% or a 25% exemption person, and that's going to be applied. Then if you are a veteran and you qualify per the state's guidelines, which would be time that you were enlisted or medals that are on your discharge papers, or maybe you're a disabled vet, you can also apply for that veteran's exemption. And depending on where you live, because mill levies are different, it's about an additional $400 savings on your property taxes for that.
Now, for those who don't own property, we can also get kind of a break on our license plates, can't we?
You can. If you don't own property, you can come into our office and sign up for it. And then when you renew your vehicles or buy one, it will help pay for that county fee that is charged.
When I think of forms that I should be bringing in on this, I imagine the DD-214.
Correct. We need the DD-214, and if you are disabled, we'll need a copy of your awards letter.
Okay, fantastic. And then for the license plate, and maybe it was because my county assessor knew who I was, I just used my VA ID card. Will that qualify as an identification or no?
I can use a VA ID card to identify you as the person, not to sign you up for the program initially. I have to have the DD-214 to put in the state's veteran system.
Yeah. So, and folks, you kind of, if you've got that laying around and you haven't turned that in, I think it's just a good idea to make sure that they've got that anyway. Okay. Now, a deadline for this one more time.
Okay. So the deadline for the veterans is also the fourth Monday in May. So long-term homeowners and veterans exemption go a little bit longer. They go to the fourth Monday in May. As of now, the 25% off homeowner exemption will have a cutoff date of March 1st.
All right. Now, homeowners can apply for more than one, yes or no?
Yes. You either get 50 or 25, and you can partner both of those with the veterans exemption. But you cannot get the 50 and the 25. It's written if you qualify for the 50% exemption, you do not qualify for the 25.
All right. So you'll get the higher one if you qualify for it, but you can't combine the two.
Correct.
75%. Man, wouldn't that be nice? That would be nice, wouldn't it? But you can't do that, folks. All right. Now, one more time, deadlines on all of this and how to apply.
I want everybody to call the assessor's office or log into our website and take a look at what's there. If you're computer savvy, it's easier to do that. if you know somebody or have additional questions, we are happy to take the phone calls so that we can make sure that we are applying the proper exemptions for every homeowner in the county that gets one.
Make sure you're getting this taken care of, folks. We really got hit a couple of years ago. I'm glad that they've got these exemption programs in place, but they don't work if you don't apply. All right, on that.
Oh. And Floyd, yeah, the phone number for the assessor's office, 674-2535.
All right. On that, we're going to have more with our Sheridan County right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Some banks answer to shareholders.
First Federal Bank and Trust answers to the community.
Because as a mutual bank, everyone benefits. Profits stay local.
Supporting nonprofits and community programs with decades of local roots and modern online and mobile banking that fits your life.
More than a bank.
A mutual commitment.
First Federal Bank and Trust. Member FDIC.
Big dealerships have big budgets for big advertising, but the truth is that major sponsorships cost big bucks. Here at Prime Rate Motors, we choose to sponsor our local youth and local worthwhile programs, all the while passing that savings on to you, our customer. We are locally owned with the same ownership and management for over 40 years. If we don't have what you need, we'll find it and we'll stand behind it after the sale because we live here, we work here, and we raise our families here. Prime Rate Motors, 2305 Coffeen Avenue.
Do you ever hear ringing, buzzing, or humming when the room is quiet? You might be dealing with tinnitus, and if so, you're definitely not alone. Hi, this is Dr. Addison Dempsey from Ebia Hearing in Sheridan. We talk with people every day who feel frustrated, exhausted, and unsure where to turn because of tinnitus. The good news is there are treatment options. Advanced hearing aids like Starkey Omega AI can help reduce the perception of tinnitus by properly stimulating your auditory nerve and with masking technology. We also offer Lanier, an innovative FDA-approved therapy that combines sound with gentle stimulation to help retrain how the brain responds to tinnitus. There's no one-size-fits-all solution, which is why we start by listening to you. If you're struggling to hear well or tinnitus is affecting your sleep, focus, or quality of life, schedule a consultation with EBA Hearing today. You deserve quiet, clear moments again. EBA Hearing on Coffeen Avenue in Sheridan. Call 674-8920. That's 674-8920.
Hey, it's Jamie, Armchair Aggers from Carroll's Furniture, quarterbacking from my Lazy Boy in the Carroll's Furniture and First Northern Bank Pro Football Pick'em. We're throwing down in the KRE Morning Show. Here's what happened.
For the first time ever.
Come on. It might be, actually.
I think it is.
At this point in the year, it definitely is, yeah.
Remember when you used to be called first?
Yeah.
Call your name off first?
The rookie.
Yes. A lot of that, yeah.
We were contemplating calling you the caboose for a while.
Our son has come.
Yes,
yes. Hey, Andrew.
Love it.
Leading the VIPs. Woo. Overall
nice
point
work.
Score
good job,
of 185.
Yeah, every dog has his day. Yeah.
Who wouldn't want a $100 gift card to the Y Arno Bar and Grill? Andrew the analyst from First Northern Bank here. You got to play if you want to win. Make your picks for your chance at the high score of the week. And tune in every Wednesday at 7:40 to see which VIP dominated.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're sitting with Sheridan County Commission Chair Christy Haswell, Commissioner Holly Jennings, and from the Assessor's Office, Kim Lodovici. Now, I really gave you the third degree in the last shot, Kim, but boy, she really handled it fantastically. And folks, I just want to remind you one more time. Before I move on in this show, make sure that you're getting these property tax exemptions applied for sooner rather than later. My best advice would be everybody else is putting this off. You be the one who's not. That way you can get it done quickly. Because if you wait to the last minute, I can almost guarantee there's going to be a line down there at that assessor. How busy does it get down there, Kim?
It gets pretty busy. Sometimes the phones are ringing off the hook and we've got a small line out the door. A lot of people are online. We can help them over the phone that way. But because the numbers are low, we anticipate to have higher than usual traffic as well coming in this last month.
Yeah, you're kind of seeing it. Okay, well, not that many people have applied yet, so there's probably a lot of people waiting to the last minute.
Yeah, I think my last check was about 2,900 and some change is all that has applied in the county online for the 25% off.
Wow. Okay, folks, get on down there. Apply for these. One more thing that I do want to talk about in regards to the property tax exemption, and just for those folks who don't know, who uses those property taxes, Commissioner?
Thank you, Floyd. Yes, that's one of the main revenue streams for local government.
And it's local government. It's not going to the state and then coming back to you. This is everything paid in property taxes serves your county.
Correct.
All right. I don't want people thinking that they're throwing all this money into the big coffers down at the Capitol.
No, this does not go to the state, but it doesn't just go to local government. It also, you know, goes to schools as well. So it's not a straight 100% to local government. But.
Okay. All right. So bear that in mind as well, folks. Okay. Now let's talk about boards and committees. How many different boards and committees does the county commission work with on a regular basis?
We have about, just looking at kind of our list of involvement for the commissioners themselves, there's about 17 to 20 boards that we're involved with as commissioners.
Now, do all of these meet once a month, if not more?
No.
Okay. Holy cow.
And we're not, you know, we split up duties so that we all don't have to go to 17 meetings a month. So some of them are quarterly. Some of them are monthly. You know, the fair board, the hospital board.
Library board.
The library board. The weed and pest saws. So it just depends on the board.
But do we have a predatory board?
We do.
Okay.
Yep, that would be Commissioner Nick Siddle that sits on that as the liaison.
That board fascinates me. And the reason being is because I never thought it. I never knew it existed until I covered it over in a neighboring county.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I guess, yeah, you would need somebody to prevent the skunks and the foxes and everything from getting into town.
Yeah.
And it never crossed my mind. And I think that applies to a lot of boards, to a lot of things that are going on. People don't know what's going on behind the scenes a lot of the time. There's a board meeting about this, generally, and talking about it, making these decisions. Now, as commission chair, how do you see boards and committees fitting into the county's overall governance structure itself?
You know, they're all boards and committees that involve some aspect of county government. And I think it's what I like about the committees and the boards is that, you know, we've got a lot of citizens that serve on these. And so I really appreciate that citizens are saying, okay, this is how we want to operate our library. And we're going to help the commissioners know what the community's thinking about in terms of direction or decision making. So I just really appreciate how much citizen involvement that we have on those committees.
Because that's what it is, isn't it, Jennings? I mean, it's citizen involvement. This is the best way to become involved right now. And for anyone with maybe political aspirations, I think it's a fantastic way to introduce yourself to the way the system's run.
Yeah, I certainly think that you can look into, you can get involved in a board, even just going to a board meeting. I tell people all the time, when you're talking about like Board of County Commissioners, come to a staff meeting or go to a Parks and Rec, since I sit on Parks and Rec Board, that's where they're discussing the topics that will then come often to us as Board of County Commissioners. And you have the discussion happening between different board members, and the public has the opportunity at the very beginning level to discuss a project that then will work for maybe year or two or however long, or maybe it's only a month, and then it comes to the board. And so it's, I like the ability for citizens to come in and shape what happens at the county.
And there's a lot of different boards, as Commissioner Haswell was reading over, excuse me, that you can get involved in if there's an aspect of local government that you feel you would like to maybe influence or become involved in because you're passionate about it. As you said, you know, the Parks and Rec. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of recreational opportunity here in Sheridan County, and it's fantastic. But being involved in that at the base level, I think, is great as well, being able to influence
and
that in a way.
I would just add, Floyd, you know, it is a good way to learn about the latest and greatest issues, decisions the county's making. I know I went to staff meetings for probably 3 months before I started campaigning to be a commissioner, because I felt I needed to, you know, the responsible thing to do would to understand what the county's dealing with. But the other side of that too, I think being able to get on some of these boards helps you learn about governance, and board etiquette and board engagement,
compromise.
You know, a lot of people get on a board and they're like, oh, well, I don't know how we make this decision. When do I make a motion? You know, how are we putting the agenda together? Thinking about timelines. How do you run a good meeting? Mm. I think all of those things are just valuable things you can get out of participating on a committee or a board.
You get a crash course in Robert's Rules.
Why do you feel it's so important for the county commissioners to serve as either members, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there's not a lot of committees and boards that you're members of. Most of the time you're liaisons, correct?
There are some that we vote on. But if there's liaison after the committee, then we're just there to gather information and take it back to the commissioners and get information from the commissioners if they have questions and take it back to the board.
Okay.
So you're really just the eyes and ears if you're a liaison, and then otherwise you're a voting member.
Which ones are you voting members on?
So SAWS, Joint Powers Board, we're voting members. That's just city council and county commissioners. Juvenile Justice, which is Commissioner Arzy. Critical Air Service Team, CAST, he is on that as well, and that's a voting membership. The ACME Work Group. Child Support Authority, which is Commissioner Jennings. She's a voting member. Law Enforcement Center Joint Powers Board. Holly's a voting member. I think those are the tripartite board. Commissioners are voting members on that one. And the Joint Powers Fire Board. And then also, the LGLP.
LGLP.
Basically, our insurance,
local government liability. Yep.
Got it. Yep. Okay, gotcha. The exciting stuff.
thank you, Commissioner Wright.
Yeah, jumping on that one for everybody. Now, when we look at services, what role do joint powers boards play in providing services across these jurisdictions? You said joint powers board a few times there. For those who may not know what that is, what is a joint powers board?
So I'll use SAWS as an example because that's the one that I sit on. But it's a joint powers board because we've got equal powers between the city and the county. We have equal voting members on each side. And statute rules how we operate a little differently. It's a little bit more formal than a committee or a board that's not a joint powers board. Right. So in terms of like auditing our accounts, those are just some differences.
Now, when it comes to appointments that are made here at Sheridan Media, we report on these appointments. Generally, sometimes they're made by mayors. Other times they're made by the commission themselves. Can you walk us through how appointments to county boards and committees can be made?
It's a wonderful process. I actually really, really love the fact that, you know, if you've got a vacancy or you've got an open seat, then that particular board will inform us, or if a liaison, we come back and we say, hey, there's an opening. And then we basically put it out to in the newspaper saying, hey, we have an opening. We'll take applications until the state. We receive all the applications. As commissioners, we get a packet that gives us all the application information. You know, some people will bring in their resumes. They'll do letters of interest, depending on whatever board it is. A few of these have to have statutory requirements. The one that I can think of is weed and pests. You know, you have to have somebody that lives in town, and I believe somebody that lives out in the county.
There are specific districts.
Yes, there's, but most of them are, if, as long as you're a county resident. Then once that happens, then if we have more than one candidate for a position, then we will go into interviews. And actually tomorrow we have an interview for Parks and Rec. We have one opening and two people who have applied. So we will go in, we will listen to them, we will interview them, ask them questions. Then we will make a decision, usually at our next board meeting, as to who we're going to appoint.
So there is like a bit of an application process.
Yep.
And you know, I'm glad to see the more applications, the better, in my opinion. It shows a lot of involvement within the community. Now, how does the commission ensure accountability from the boards it works with?
You know, I think part of that is our participation on those boards.
Liaisons, voting members.
Mm-hmm. And if there are any questions that arise just in terms of how the board's operating, maybe legally, you know, we'll oftentimes get Clint Beaver, our deputy attorney, involved for those legal questions. But really, we haven't, you know, I think the biggest issue that we run into is folks joining these boards and then not being able to make meetings.
Yep.
And it's hard to have a good board meeting if you don't have everybody there. And sometimes it's not you don't have a quorum, so you can't even have a meeting. But oftentimes, you know, we're seeing some issues like, well, how do we really understand what that board is saying? What's their message to the county commissioners? If the voting is, you know, the vote's kind of gray, it's not sending a clear message. So we would just ask, you know, if folks want to be on one of these boards, that they really make sure that they can be there.
Commit.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
please.
That's all it really is. If you're going to fill a seat, and I've preached this every committee and board I've talked about and to on this show, if you're going to make that commitment to sit in the seat, attend the meeting. Be involved or free up the seat.
Yeah.
I know things change. Things change all the time in life. That's one of the big rules of being here. It's going to change.
Yeah.
So if it does and you have to resign from the board or remove yourself, that's fine. People understand that. Don't be one of those, what I call a flute board member, holding the champagne flutes at parties, telling everyone what boards you're on, but you never actually make a meeting.
If you're selected, it means we think you can really be
you
a positive,
yeah,
productive contributor. So, yeah, we want to hear what you have to say.
And those board meetings and committee meetings, it's so important to have the full discussion happening from every person that's there, because what one person may see, the other person may not even think of.
Mm-hmm.
I always say, you know, you can't ask the questions that you don't know to ask. And so if everybody is sitting there talking about a subject, pros and cons of it, that's more of a full-fledged conversation that then can be brought to us. And we have a better understanding of whatever the item may be.
And different perspectives.
Yeah.
Different perspectives are needed. On that, I got to take a quick commercial break before James starts throwing things at me. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Ever wonder where your bank's priorities really are?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, they're right here at home.
No shareholders, just shared values.
Local decision-making, community support, and a long-standing commitment to the people we serve.
Plus the convenience of online and mobile banking.
Banking that matches your values.
First Federal Bank and Trust. More than a bank, a mutual bank. Member FDIC.
Happy New Year from the Bates team at Best Real Estate.
As we step boldly into 2026, we're here to wish you a year filled with good health, happiness, and incredible prosperity.
A new year means new opportunities, and whether you're dreaming of a new home, planning to sell, or exploring possibilities, the Bates team is here and ready to help every step of the way.
Let us make 2026 your best year yet. From Jill and Colton Bates with the Bates team at Best Real Estate, cheers to new beginnings and exciting adventures ahead.
Happy New Year!
I'm here with Candace Kindred from Teriyaki Madness talking New Year's resolutions.
Tommy, hi. If eating better or getting fit is on your list, Teriyaki Madness has you covered. High protein chicken, steak, tofu or salmon, real veggies, and bold flavors made fresh daily. And yes, we have gluten-free options too.
That sounds delicious.
Whether you're counting protein, cutting carbs, going gluten-free, or just want food that actually fuels your day, Teriyaki Madness is your go-to for healthy meals.
This year, eat smarter with Teriyaki Madness. Healthy never tasted this good.
We're Captain Clean, and nobody cleans or guarantees satisfaction like us. Oriental rugs, heating and air conditioning systems, carpet, tile and grout, hardwood floors, upholstery, fire and water damage, insulation removal, mold remediation, chimney cleaning, and much, much more. Call Captain Clean this winter at 672-0726. Affordable choices for healthy living.
When it comes to Wyoming, your roof takes the hits. Hail, wind, snow, and sun. That's why Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors installs metal roofing built to last. From commercial-grade R-panel, residential metal roofs, and our impact-resistant 24-gauge standing seam systems, every option is engineered for strength, longevity, and performance. When you want protection that lasts a lifetime, call Brandon 307 for your free inspection. Quality materials, quality installation, local experience you can count on. Visit Brandon307.com. Brandon 307, Branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
Moss Holders is creating space for new inventory in the new year. That means tons of in-stock items have been priced to move. All month long, you can save 20, 30, even 50% off selected items. Every piece of clearance furniture is in stock. Most of them are one of a kind. So that means by shopping early, you'll get the best selection of clearance pricing. Whether you're wanting a new sofa, recliner, dining set, or bedroom pieces, Moss Holders has discounted furniture for every room in your home. Start off the new year with a new look at great pricing. Moss Holders clearance sale going on now. Moss Holders, furniture is our passion.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're speaking with Sheridan County Commission Chair Christy Haswell, Commissioner Holly Jennings, and from the Assessor's Office, Kim Lodovici. I've been getting that name right every time, right?
Every time.
Man, I'm getting better
at this.
It's
kind of fun to say, isn't it?
It only took me 5 years, but I'm going to get this down.
Show it off now.
I'm pop my collar a little bit. Okay, we're talking about boards, folks, and being committed to the committees that you commit yourself to. Holly, from your perspective, why are county boards and committees essential to the local government process?
Well, like I said earlier, I mean, not just those who sit on the boards, but those who attend. If we're going to dig into an item or subject, really looking at all aspects of that and having the discussion, pros, cons, different viewpoints, I think that's so important, because if you just have one thing that you're looking at, you may miss something else. I really, when it comes to the Board of County Commissioners, I want to hear all sides. Now, I may have a viewpoint and this may be how I vote, but I want to hear everything, because you never know when a question may come up that you need to think about a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So I really think it's really important to have those discussions. You obviously can't have those when you're in the middle of a Board of County Commissioner meeting. You can't have a three-hour discussion on one item. But yeah, I think that's why it's important.
I would just tag on to that, Floyd. I think, attending any of these meetings is great, but never hesitate to call a county commissioner. Mm. I would love to see somebody in my office please give me a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 752-1660. Call me up. I don't get enough phone calls.
That's really odd because I hear the opposite from a lot of mayors.
I agree with her, and I would rattle off my phone number, but I never remember it. So you can find it on the county website, but I'm the same.
I had to type my wife's phone number into something the other day, and I told the person behind the counter, don't tell her I don't know right off the top of my head, because I could not remember it. Birthday I got down, though. That's all that counts.
That's
right?
The important one.
Now, when it comes to responsibilities as a liaison, we touched on this a little bit. It's kind of just your duty. Well, I shouldn't say just, but part of your duty to take the information back to the county, mm-hmm. share that with each other. Generally, is that done during a county commission board meeting, or is that generally done behind closed doors? How does that work?
Typically, we'll share our meeting minutes. Mm-hmm. We have these yellow folders that go around the office, and so you'll get information typically that way.
And we all write on our meeting minutes notes and... You know, this is what's happening, because I know agendas and meeting minutes, they don't really show the entire picture. So if there's something, I always try to include if there's presentation or if there's maps or anything that comes along with that I get during the meeting, we'll put it together and put it in, like she said, the yellow folder that has our name, and we check mark when we're done and pass off to the next. And I think that's really, really helpful. You get a broad overview of what's happening. There's, like you said, 17 to 20 committees. There's no way to keep up with all of them.
It's a lot of information I have to go over.
And so having the ability to say, oh, okay, that's what's happening at the Fair Board right now.
Yeah. Summarize
keeps me up to date, right? Yes.
Yeah, yeah. You guys were in there for 2.5 meetings. Give me the 2-minute sales pitch.
Occasionally, if we want to have a discussion about something, that'll come up at a staff meeting where we're getting updates from all the departments. And then, you know, if Kimber comes up and has an update on the Fair Board, we'll be able to have that conversation there if it's beyond, you know, comments in the meeting minutes. So
now when we talk about openings that are currently out there, what do we have?
As far as I know, the only one that we have is Parks and Recreation, which will be filled. Well, we'll have the interviews tomorrow morning.
Now, every one of these comes with a term limit, right, Holly?
Yes. Some are statutory and some are just what's kind of been determined by the board. One of the issues that we actually had to deal with recently was the Fair Board. Statutorily, it's 5-year terms, but somewhere along the line, way back when, it got turned into 3-year terms.
Wow.
And so when that was found out, we immediately, you know, Nick, who serves as our Fair Board liaison, went to that Fair Board and said, hey, by the way, here's statute. We need to change this. So at our last appointment process for the Fair Board, we went from 7 to 9 members, and we corrected at the same time going forward. It'll be 5-year terms.
Is that like something people are bringing up or talking to you about? Do they not like the idea of your shortening that, or did they just seem to not really care?
Well, we didn't shorten it. We'd actually lengthened the term. So they were at 3-year terms and now they're at 5-year terms. Most memberships in committees are 3-year terms. I think really actually the Fair Board may be the only one that I know of that is a 5-year, maybe the Hospital Board. I'm not sure on that,
but yeah, I'm not sure either, but, no, there were lots of jokes. We were talking about grandchildren earlier with Kim. And like, how many grandkids are some of these board members going to have with a 5-year term right. By the time they get done?
Absolutely. Now, God, that threw me off my hamster off my wheel. You'll have to excuse. Okay, so let's just talk about, I'm running out of time with you. I only got about 2 minutes. So let's go over the application process one more time. Individuals who were out there, who are thinking, you know what, it's time. I need to get more involved. If you were to start from scratch, from absolutely nothing, you just have passion.
Yep.
Where should I put it? What should I do?
So I think looking for announcements on the county website, if you know specifically what you'd be interested in, if you're not sure and you don't know what boards are out there, give one of the commissioners a call, come in and sit down and say, hey, I've got a lot of background and experience in this. Where would this be a good fit? And then we could brainstorm. There might be some better places than others where you could participate. And then, you know, when an opening comes up, there's a form online, really easy, just name, address, two sentences on your background. And then we love to see a letter of interest. And then you submit that. We do interviews. And as Holly mentioned, make a decision at our next normal BOCC meeting. And that's really it.
And I would add on to that, you know, going to these meetings, if there is something that you're interested in, if you like historic preservation or you like saws, go and listen in those meetings. The public it's open to the public. Find out about them. That's where you might first off learn if there's going to be an opening.
I would add too, there's a lot of amazing boards and nonprofits, groups in our community. So if, you know, maybe you're interested in youth sports, oh my gosh, there's so many places you could get involved. Or the arts, or so there's a place, I think, for anybody who wants to give their time.
And if you're new to the community, what a great way to meet like-minded individuals who are passionate about the same thing. And for, you know, at risk of sounding like a kid on the playground, make some new friends.
Yeah. And Floyd, not to get distracted with the squirrel that I see, but I did want to let folks know we were talking about property tax earlier. If folks go to our Sheridan County GIS page and find their property, there's a link to their property taxes and they can see a pie chart of exactly where every penny of their tax dollars goes.
That's fantastic.
It's really interesting and really helpful.
That's fantastic. That way you know how the money's being spent today. That's great. Ladies, I want to thank you so much for coming in and speaking with me. Kim, you did great. I hope to see you in the future.
Thank you. I hope to be back.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Here's what makes First Federal Bank and Trust different.
No shareholders, just shared values and profits that are reinvested locally, supporting nonprofits to help our community thrive.
Mutual means more for our communities.
With years of trusted local service and modern banking tools that make life easier, mutual means more.
First Federal Bank and Trust, banking with shared values. Member FDIC.
Bricks and mortar, sticks and stone, a house is a house until you make it a home. Sandbox, hopscotch, yardstick on the wall, backyard soccer goal, laughter down the hall. This is Lisa Hansen with MC2 Realty. Don't settle for the first house that works. Let's find the one that's home. I'll put my years of experience and extensive knowledge of the local market to work for you. Buy or sell with confidence. Call me, Lisa Hansen, at 307-763-3964. And we'll start your home journey today.
You're invited to the 9th Annual Little Goose Ranch Production Sale, January 24th at Buffalo Livestock Marketing. Selling is an outstanding set of registered yearling Black Angus bulls and replacement heifers, featuring progeny influenced by top-name sires such as Coleman Charlo, Ellingson Statement, SAV Certified, and other outstanding herd sires. Free wintering and delivery within 500 miles. Visit littlegooseranch.com for further information and to see the catalog. Make plans for Buffalo, Wyoming, January 24th at 1 p.m. for the Little Goose Ranch Production Sale.
From Billings to Buffalo, this is the News Talk Station, FM 103.9 and 930 AM, KROE. KROE.